So this morning, we're on the second week of our sermon series for the month of November, and it's called Hashtag Life Goals. I don't know how many of you have a Twitter account or if you follow social media in any way, shape, or form, but a hashtag is just a simple, short saying that people use to talk about a theme that's going on in their life or a theme that's that they see emerging in the midst of their day. And so one of the themes that we want to have emerge in the month of November is all the gratitude and all the thankfulness that we have leading up to the holidays and the ways in which the goals we have for our life are reflective of the gratitude for the grace of God that's active and alive and moving in and through our midst. So the life goal that we're talking about today is health in body and mind and spirit. And Melissa gave a great introduction to what that looks like during our interview this morning. But I want to give a little more of an introduction and just start out with this basic premise, this basic idea that I'm going into this sermon with today. And that is that God created each one of us, that we are a unique and unrepeatable miracle of God. We are each a sight to behold in the eyes of our Maker, and God delights in each one of us, every single day. Because of this premise, I believe that we are all called to live a healthy and long life. That is what God intends for us. We're meant to enjoy the body and the mind and the spirit that God has blessed us with because it's a gift. It's a gift from our Creator who loves us and who made us. The basic idea of this premise comes from my faith, but where I have a little bit of trouble, where I run into conflict and tension, is when I start to compare that or create this juxtaposition between what my faith tells me, what my heart tells me, and what I see in the media and what society tells me. Society inundates us with information and with unsolicited advice about how to be healthy, doesn't it? There's all kinds of advertisements and commercials and billboards and things you hear on the radio, and media casts an image about what it means to be beautiful and happy, and it all seems to be controlled by the way we look. There are diet fads, there are exercise regimes, there are full-body cleanses. There are holistic ideals. There are mindsets and patterns. So how do we reconcile? How do we live in the midst of this tension between what our faith tells us, that we are beautiful, that we are beloved, that we are holy, that we are special, and then what society tells us is that you're never enough. You need this product to make you better, to make you more beautiful, to make you happier. I want to read for you from the Bible, from Paul's letter to the Corinthians in the sixth chapter, where Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 through 20. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, which you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Have you ever heard this idea that our bodies are a temple? It's an idea that comes from the Old Testament, from the first half of the Bible. And Paul, what he's doing here is he's comparing our bodies to a house of worship. In the Hebrew tradition, in the Jewish faith, the temple was a holy place where the community gathered daily. Weekly. It was the place where people of faith came together to have worship and time together, just like we do here on a Sunday morning at Open Door. Because it was such a regular gathering where everybody came together, everybody had a role to play in keeping the temple clean and tidy and running in tip-top shape. If there was to be a funeral or a prayer service, folks would get there early to make the preparations. If there was a festival or a high holy day and the masses were expected to arrive, folks would get together to make food, to set up a big tent, to set out the songbooks on the places where the folks would gather for worship. The temple was this holy place, and it took time and energy and lots of people to make it function well. So when the Apostle Paul compares our bodies to a temple, he's reminding us that our bodies are holy too, and that it takes time and energy for our bodies to function well too. It takes people, it takes time, it takes energy for us to be able to glorify God in our bodies. One way we pursue glorifying God in health is by focusing on body and mind and spirit. We know that no one person is going to be well if one of those things is missing or lacking. We're whole people. God created us in body and mind and spirit. And so even if our body is doing great, but we're not feeling well in our mind or in our spirit, we're not going to be able to glorify God to our fullest. Now we know that God, our creator, who loves us and who made us unique and has an unrepeatable miracle, wants us to live a life that glorifies God every day. We also know that God wants us to live a healthy and long life. And so if you're like me and you share these life goals and make it a hashtag, #lifegoals, then we have to reflect on how we care for ourselves in body and mind and spirit. When it comes to our bodies, can you just wiggle your fingers with me? Wiggle your toes inside your shoes with me? That feels kind of weird, doesn't it? So we are these amazing creatures. We are alive. We sang that song. God's love is alive in us. God's heartbeat is beating inside of us. And we know that we are people living in a body. So as we come to a question about how do we be healthy in our body, I want to ask, what is your relationship to food and exercise and rest? Food and exercise and rest. Now, I am not an expert to even begin to tell you what your unique and unrepeatable miracle of a body needs when it comes to these three things. I'm not a dietitian. I'm not a personal trainer. I'm not a doctor. I'm not one of those people that hooks you up in the sleep lab to all those cords and monitors and things. That's not me. But as a pastor, what I do know is that Jesus himself, the one who sets an example for how we are to live and who saves us when our bodies are frail and failing, Jesus took time to eat. Jesus took time to go for walks. Jesus even took time to nap. Hallelujah. And so therefore, we should too. Because Jesus did all of these things, because he broke bread with his disciples, because he took breaks to go for a walk on the seashore or on the mountainside, because he took time to rest when he needed it, whether it was in the boat in the middle of a storm or in the garden the week before he was to die, we know that Jesus sets an example for us and gives us permission to do the same thing. So when we focus on the health of our body, we can look to the example of Jesus and ask the question, what is our relationship to food and exercise and rest? This morning, Melissa, in our interview, talked about the importance of striking a balance and staying focused on health. And I think it's easiest to do that when we remember that caring for ourselves is a way of glorifying God. Self-care is never selfish. And so as we care for ourselves, we are glorifying God. We're not trying to achieve perfection or compete with anyone else, but we're acknowledging that our bodies are holy and that they deserve time and attention and care. Now, if I'm not an expert, who does care for you and your body? The good news is there are experts, right? Praise God for the people who have studied, who have practiced, and now who we can turn to when there are needs. There are people who are trained to advise us, to care for us, to help us when our body is not well and when we do have a need. So as a pastor, one of the most important things I say, and I spend a lot of time going into the hospitals and nursing homes and meeting with people at vulnerable points in their life when it feels like they're not well. As a pastor, my best advice to you is to advocate for yourself and be proactive. Keep your regularly scheduled appointments. Reach out if you have a concern, and do not ignore signs or symptoms. You, my friends, and your body are worth the hassle, the phone call, the visit, the money. You and your body are holy, and therefore, you are worth it. Let's talk about health in our minds, in our brains, in our psyches, in our psychological selves. I want to pause and take a moment while I'm up here today and talk about mental health, because it's so important for all people, for adults and for youth and for children alike, to know that St. Paul's United Methodist Church and all of your pastors are here for you. We support you. No matter where you are on your mental health journey, at the open door, you can be you. You can be authentic. You can be loved. Be welcomed in this space just as you are. And we believe that you can be changed. That today is not the worst day. That there is hope. And that tomorrow can and will be different. We believe in you. We believe in all of you. We pray for you. We see you in the midst of your hardship and your suffering, and we want what is best for you. We don't have all the answers, but what we can commit to is walking alongside you in the midst of this journey towards health and towards wholeness. We want you to see and experience the abundant life that God intends for you. What can be on the best of days. So if you are someone who is feeling anxious, if you are someone who is feeling depressed, if you're feeling isolated or scared or vulnerable or confused, if you're someone who feels like it is not right, that all is not well in my soul, I'm here today to tell you that you're not alone. Every single person who wiggled their fingers and toes in this room this morning has been there. We've all had bad days, and we've all seen that tomorrow comes. We know that help is available, and more than that, we know that asking for help is holy. When it comes to health in body and mind and spirit, we know that asking for help is a holy thing to do. It's something that glorifies God, in fact. Why does asking for help glorify God? It's not a sign of weakness. It's not a sign of vulnerability. It's a sign of our interdependence upon our relationship with God, the Creator who loves us and who wants the best for us and who is always reaching out to us, always stretching out God's hand to say, I'm here. It's a sign of the relationship of this community of faith, of the brothers and sisters in Christ who are seated near you, who said, I've walked that road. I've been there. I know somebody. Let me refer you. It's a sign of our relationship. And when we are in relationship with one another, that is indeed a holy thing. So again, I'll say, you are worth the hassle. You are worth the phone call. You are worth the visit. You are worth the money. You are not a burden on anyone else when you ask for help. Amen? As we ask for help, one of the things that we know is that receiving help becomes a means of experiencing God's presence in our life. It becomes a means of experiencing God's grace. That when we ask for help and God answers, or when we ask for help and a friend comes our way, or when we ask for help and professional services become part of our lifestyle, we experience God's presence in the midst of that journey. We experience the gift that we have been waiting to receive. We offer ourselves a gift of forgiveness to say, I don't have to be perfect. I don't have to have it all figured out. I don't have to be happy today. I am good enough. And that is a gift of grace. It's a gift and a sign of God's presence. So there are people here, myself included, who will move heaven and earth, who will walk with you out of the darkness and into the light to help you, to remind you, to offer you that gift of grace. There are so many wonderful resources available in our community. We're privileged to have folks like counselors and pastors and support groups and therapists and folks who are here day in and day out for you. I want to tell you a story about a woman that I came to know in my previous church. She was a woman who initially called the church looking for a place to sign her family up for a Christmas food basket program that we have going on. It's similar to the one that our church offers during the month of December when the groceries come in and everyone comes and packs food and then the gifts are delivered to our neighbors who are hungry and in need. The difference was in this community we partnered with the Marines and Toys for Tots in Grand Rapids, and there was some food and there was some toys and clothing and things that went out to families in need. It was on a very small scale, and so early in the fall, I would get these phone calls from folks who wanted to be on the waiting list. I could take up to 20 families each year, and the woman who called me was number 19. And so I said, you just made it. You're in. You're on my list. We've got you covered. And I started writing down the sizes of all her children's clothing and what they needed most, whether it was shoes or a hoodie or what have you. I wrote down that one of her children was diabetic and the other was in need of gluten-free food because of an allergy. And as I was taking all these notes, the woman on the phone, she started to weep. She started to weep and she said, it's not every day that somebody takes the time to be with somebody like me in the way that you have just done. And I said, oh, I'm just doing my job. I'm so happy that I met you today and that had this conversation with you and that we're going to be able to serve you in this way. I said, is there anything else I can do for you today? Can I pray for you? She said, actually, you can pray for me because I just got back from a meeting with my parole officer. And I have to start going to a meeting for Alcoholics Anonymous. I've gotten 3 DUIs in a row, and I'm not allowed to drive anymore. And I have to go to these meetings every day in order to prove that I'm going to turn my life around. In order to prove that I can be healthy, that I can be a good mother. And I said, well, I will certainly pray for you, but the other thing I want to tell you today is that my church has Alcoholics Anonymous meetings every day that meet twice a day, once at 7 a.m. and once at noon. And again, the tears start coming and you can hear her kind of falling apart on the phone. And I give her directions to the church. She just lives a few blocks away. It was in walking distance, and there was a bus line as well. And she said, Pastor, I think you just saved my life. Here I thought I was going to get some groceries and a few gifts for my kids this Christmas. But now I see that God had bigger plans in mind. Sometimes the way we pursue health in body and mind and spirit comes to us in ways that surprise us, in ways that overwhelm us. And that is the way of God's grace. When the door opens and you're given permission to take time to give yourself attention and care, to nurture the parts of your body and mind and spirit that have been neglected for a long time, that is the way that God's grace becomes active and involved in your life. So as you are pursuing health in your own mind, I want to invite you to ask those questions of yourself and ask, where am I not well? Who can I reach out to for help? And perhaps if today is going really well for you and you feel like everything's great, then how can you be a help to someone else? What part of your journey makes you a wounded healer? And who do you know that might be able to help someone else? Lastly, I want to talk about spiritual health. And we know that in the hierarchy of needs, spiritual health is kind of at the top of the pyramid, right? You need certain things in your body, in your household, in your life to be stable. You need emotional connection and a sense of belonging and worth. And then you start to get to this place where you can consider your spiritual life, where you can consider your relationship with God and how nurturing that helps you to be a healthier and more well-rounded, a more complete person. We know that time that we invest in our Christian community, in our place of worship, matters. We know that it matters because it matters to God. It glorifies God. But we also know that it nourishes us. It sustains us. It strengthens us for each and every day. It helps us cultivate resilience. It helps us to build relationships with other people. And we know that as each one of us come to this place, pursuing our health in body and mind and spirit, that the strength of the community is enhanced by each one of you and your own journeys. So as I am pursuing my own health and wellness, and I know that someone else is doing the same thing, I'm going to be encouraged to keep going in my journey. And as two or more are gathered, and we know that we're all working together on something, then the rest of us will come alongside and be encouraged and inspired and equipped to do the same. Now, when it comes to the example of Jesus, what we know about Jesus' spiritual life is that not every day was a good day. Jesus, for all of his faith, for all of his allegiance and devotion to God, for all of his miracles and ministry, Jesus had bad days too, where he doubted and he had questions, where he wondered if what he was doing was worth it. And I know, as a person who has read the Bible and studied the Bible, that Jesus didn't practice perfection. He didn't get everything right every day. What Jesus practiced was resurrection. Jesus didn't practice perfection. He practiced resurrection. And so that can be an example for us too. Each day offers us a chance to begin again, to set our intentions, to trust that we are beautiful and wonderfully made, unique and unrepeatable miracles. Each day offers us a chance to reach out for help and support, to stand up to the lies society tells us about beauty and health. Each day offers us a chance to show up for ourselves time and time again. Each day is a gift of resurrection in body and mind and spirit. And so may that be our commitment, our life goal this day, that we would not pursue perfection, but that we would pursue resurrection, new life, for whatever that looks like for you, in body and mind and spirit. Would you pray with me? God, you are great and you are good, and you created each one of us great and good in your image. We know, O God, that you walk with us through every time and in every place, and that you are working with us to give us the motivation and the strength that we need to be healthy in body and mind and spirit. Be with each one of us on our journeys. Help us to take the next step. And may there be a ripple effect in this community here at the Open Door, O God, that as we are each authentic and loved and transformed, that the whole community would experience that transformation, so that together we would glorify you and be about the ministry that you call us to do. Amen.